It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 22nd of February 2014. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday the 22nd of February, David Basham talked to John Ewer about the Onitangi Beach Races, and he spoke with Miran Lawler and Frankie Hill from Direction Matiatia.
Well, I've got John Ewer in the studio, and he's from Rotary, and I see in the Golf News, time to pull together for the Onitangi Beach Races. So you're really getting people to
Stuck
in.
Yes, no, so it's only a week to go. It's next Sunday, the 2nd of March, and this particular event requires a large number of volunteers, and we call upon local community groups to help us. And, you know, we have groups like the Coast Guard, football clubs and so on, the Dolphins, who come along on the day, and they help us with running all those events.
And Waiheke Radio is going to be there.
That's right. We're very excited this year. This is a new initiative with Waiheke Radio. We'll be doing live broadcasts on the day. We also have a race caller, John Hudson, who's a local he's on the Sunday program as a journalist, and he's going to call the races for us.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant. Yes, because everyone, when we heard that we were going to be doing it, we decided we'd do it. Everyone's looking at each other going, do we have to do race commentary? We're all looking at each other like it. And I thought, I wouldn't mind. I'd like to have a go. But so, yeah, so how are you going with people getting in for the races?
Very good. Things are going very well. We have a large group of people, and we'll all turn out very early on the day, although events don't start until 10 o'clock. We start the day with the children's events at 10 o'clock, and the main event this year is the Big Dig, which is on the beach. And we also have Tanya Butt helping us, and she's set up a tent which is called the Seahorse Corral, and that's where the younger children will be looked after for most of the day.
Oh, she does a magnificent job.
She does.
Doesn't she? Yep.
She does. And then we lead on from there. We have the sandcastle competition, the human races, and at about midday, we have the tug of war, which is an annual event where various teams fight it out there on the beach.
Yeah, and there's a picture of in the Golf News of having a tug of war.
That's right. Yeah. And we this year, of course, is like every other year, where we have the Sea Legs races, and they will do a sort of a tractor pass or a pass of the beach about midday, and their first race starts at 12:30. There's two big races.
And do they actually start on the water?
No, they start on the beach, and they it's like a Le Mans start. They have to run to their boats and then motor down the beach before going out to sea.
Oh, right. So that's a lot. Oh, kids would love that. They think that would be fantastic.
They do.
I remember the first time I saw one come out of the water, and it sort of, you know, was almost as good as Ursula Andress and Dr. No.
Well, we actually, it's billed as the largest amphibious boat race in the world, because here on Waiheke we have more sea legs than anywhere else.
Oh, that's fabulous. And how are you getting on with the tractor race entries?
We're still looking for a few more tractor races. We think we've got enough, but anybody who's got a tractor, you're welcome to come down and enter your tractor. It's a great event, and it's one that's held every year and has a great deal of interest and some good prizes as well.
That's interesting, just talking about sea legs, going back. They say in the article here that was written, I don't know, obviously the person talked to Linda, I think, who Linda works with you on, like a whole lot of people from Rotary, but there's 40 sea leg vehicles on the island.
Yes,
according to this, that's a lot.
It's an amazing number. And
imagine getting them all together.
Well,
that's scary.
There will be a large number down there, but we'll be just, I think, having two races, six or so in each race. Yeah,
right. And tug of war, so you've got different teams and they can win $100.
Yes, that's right. That's a very popular event. We have also on the day, we have the tote races. You can buy a tote pack and have an entry in each one of the nine races because there are two sea legs, two pony and buggy races, a tractor race, and four horse races. So people who would like to do a little bit of betting on those, you can buy a tote pack for $25 by going to the Waiheke Vets 3 Tui Street.
Oh, right. You can go there. Oh, in Tui Street.
Yes,
right?
And you can buy them ahead of. Of course, they'll be available on the day, but if you want to buy yours ahead of then, just go along to Waiheke Vets.
Because if it's anything like it has been in past years, it's crowded.
It is. The numbers there will vary, but it's usually sort of 8,000 or 9,000 people.
Yeah.
And they have a fabulous time. It's probably one of the best free family fun days you can have.
And, you know, there's no entry charge. Gosh, if you tried to do that, it'd be fun, wouldn't it? but there's a koha, there's a bucket
goes
around.
We'd love people if they could just make a gold coin donation on the day. All the money that we make from the beach races goes to local charities throughout the year. And we support a large number of Waiheke community organisations. And also we sponsor children. And we have Alex McKenzie is an exchange student. He's over in Germany. And we also have Logan Mitchell and Annalise Pratt. They've been recently to a challenge camp. So we do help young children and students reach their full potential.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because sometimes money just becomes the barrier. And not all parents can just hand over money for youngsters to go.
That's
away.
We do actually go and hand out dictionaries at the local primary school, and that's very well received. And I think that the having this opportunity to raise money for the local community is very special to us at Waiheke Rotary.
Well, Rotary itself has been a magnificent organisation. It's done an enormous amount. I've known various people that belong to Rotary, and they've always always contributed lots, and quietly. You don't hear much, but they do definitely. Suddenly you see a little notice and they contribute this, but it's all done fairly quietly and
that's
just
right.
Done efficiently and quietly. If I wasn't working with the radio, this one really appeals to me. The venue is hosting a race day lunch with tickets for buffet and bubbles by the beach. Now, that would definitely be me. Now, you can get hold of tickets for that on the website.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Those tickets are $60 each, and they're going very fast. It's quite a popular place to have as a base for your race day, and you can use that and have a very nice lunch.
And it's $60.
$60.
Includes a buffet lunch and a glass of bubbles. Actually, it says here that you can book tickets at anna.francis@macquarie.com.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. And if you send her an email, she'll send you back a ticket.
Right, and then tell you how to pay for it.
Oh, yes.
And also www.onatangibeachraces.co.nz. It's a really good website. I think it's a very, very, you know, because it's a bit of time to take and quite a bit of skill. And it looks a good one.
It is. And we're very grateful for...
Actually looks better than the Rotary one when I try to find you.
And we're very grateful to the computer guy who does that
he did it.
Free. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, people do pitch in, don't they?
They do. They do.
They're amazing.
And it's wonderful that they can make this such a huge event. We have a large number of stalls, of course, down there, and you can buy food and other things on the beach. And in particular, we run a silent auction, and that's where you can actually bid on a large number of events which have been donated by the local community. And if you need to make any donations on that, you can contact Sharon Al-Bakri at Bailey's, and she's running that side of events.
Oh, that's great. So you feel like you're on target for so far?
I think we are, yes. I think it's going particularly well. Of course, at this stage, we're desperately hoping it's going to be a wonderful sunny day, and it'll be just a marvelous event.
And do you have a day if because I know you've got to get the tide right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and you can't control that, no matter how much we'd like to think we could.
We do.
Wasn't it King Canute who tried to turn back the tide? But I don't think Rotary's pretty powerful in the community, but I don't know if they're that powerful.
No.
So do you have another day?
Yes, we do. That's 2 weeks later on the 16th of March.
Right, because that tide is so important.
It is. Yeah. And you know, we're hoping we don't get another event that have cancelled in the past, like tsunamis or the horse mussels.
Oh, that was awful. They had to cancel it, but it was just so scary, wasn't it? I couldn't believe it when I heard the horse mussels were down there, and I thought, oh yeah, horse mussels will just be, because I've only ever seen a handful.
I know.
I couldn't believe it.
It was quite extraordinary. Luckily, I don't think it's only an event that's happened on that particular occasion. So I don't think we'll get that this year.
No, I just couldn't believe it. And all the time I've ever lived on the island, and I used to be here really early days, never saw anything like it. Seen lots of scallops there. It's quite different.
That's right.
They were like walls.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And the council had to get rid of them, and they did that very well.
Yeah, it's almost like I felt like the ocean was going, oh, well, you mess us around, so here, take a hunk of this. So that's tomorrow week? Yeah, starting off at 10 o'clock.
And
get there early for the parking.
Yes,
because you almost have to park at like the supermarket and walk.
Well, we do have some parking available for those early birds at $10. Mm. And the other thing is for the
special parking for the radio.
We'll look after you. Don't worry. It's the fashion in the field for those ladies to get dressed up. And that's a very popular event. And we've got Otherworld Productions running that this year, and it'll be held outside the venue, and where the public can see those beautiful girls and boys parading up and down, and they'll be judged and given a very good prize.
I think there's some pictures, photos on the Onitangi Beach Races website.
Yes.
Because I've seen the people coming and all. They do get dressed up.
They really get dressed up and they wear their fascinators. Yes.
And the prizes they're so generous organisations over here. They have good prizes, don't they?
We do rely heavily on local sponsors and the local community for those prizes, and we thank them very much for that.
Okay, so there we are. So I suppose handsome guys from Rotary aren't allowed to enter into the fashion in the field, are they?
No, we're far too busy running the whole event.
Oh, that'll be great fun. I can see the fashion in the field because everybody, and so people are in there and there'd be all sorts of banter and bit of cheek and everything going on.
Oh, yes.
But they take it seriously. In the past, I've seen them really dressed up and put a lot of effort in.
Yes, they do. They do. And I think it just adds a little bit of extra flavour to the day.
Yeah, and so Otherworld Productions are going to run that.
Oh, they are, and we're very grateful to them.
Right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think, once again, come along and have a great day out. It's a great family fun day, and I think that it's a sort of iconic event that we should be proud of on Waiheke.
Because I don't think there's any more left around.
No. I think that there used to be in the past, and this has got a history going back about 120 years. So it's an event which really does mark Waiheke on the calendar.
All we need to do is bring back the TT races. Have you ever seen photographs of those?
Yes, I have. And
it's scary.
It is.
Imagine going around the corners on gravel in those days. But it was amazing. They were really keen on those.
They were.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll ever get the TT races back.
I think there'd be a health and safety issue.
Yeah. Oh, there might be to do with the fashion in the field too. Fascinators poking people's eyes out. Oh, well, that's great. So how are you off for volunteers?
We always need more volunteers, and anybody that would like to come down on the day, and we'll find a job for you.
And if they Can they go to the website?
Yes, they can go to the website and register there, yeah. Or just make yourself known at the Rotary Tent on the on the main.
It'd be nice to hear in advance, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes. We would love to hear from you if you can help us out.
That's what we've been doing with the radio. We just sent an email around to everyone, shaking them up. Come on, we need to know. And I got a big response. So know we've got enough people now.
Excellent.
Well, it's nice to know ahead of time.
Yes. And I think it's going to be exciting to have you along there.
Oh, we're looking forward to it because we've done only a handful of live broadcasts. Not that many. I mean, we've done one since I've been on. In 2 years, they did Onitangi before that, 1 year.
Yes.
That was really quite, I think that took a lot of effort, but they've worked out, the techno people here have worked out quite a simple way of doing it. I mean, it's simple to them.
Yes.
I just don't understand it.
Well, I've seen you down at the local market doing it.
Yeah, we did one. That was the first one. We did one out here in the car park to see if it would work.
Right.
And then young Blake, he's still at just Nozunki's last year at secondary school, and he developed an idea, and they took it. He's a bright, some very bright people out there. And we did the one at the market, and that was the first one. And that worked quite well. We sort of took the bugs out of that one, and I think everyone's right. But everyone's excited about it.
Great.
Yeah, and we've got a few. We've all got a bit of. You're not on the radio unless you've got a little bit of ego, so we're all looking forward to it, really. We sort of go, oh, no, it's all right, but, oh, you know, is it me? Is it me? I don't think anyone else will admit to that, but I don't mind. Okay, well, that's going to be a great day. It's just so fabulous.
Thank you very much, David, for having me on.
I've got friends coming over from the city. And they'll be excited. I told them to catch the bus out there. There's no point in trying to take a car.
No.
It's terrible.
Quite right.
But it is packed, yeah. And so, Rotary. If somebody's interested in Rotary.
Sure.
I mean, just...
Yeah, no, by all means, we're always looking for...
What does Rotary do? What is Rotary?
Well, Rotary is a huge worldwide organisation, and... In every country, there are literally hundreds of Rotary clubs. So wherever you go in the world, you can just knock on the door of any one of these clubs and they'll welcome you in as a guest. Rotary internationally has spent a lot of time working with big charitable organizations like the Gates Foundation in order to stamp out diseases like polio. And they've spent a huge amount of time in various countries and very effectively virtually eliminating polio.
Isn't that amazing? And the Gates Foundation is quite a big foundation.
They do, but they need people on the ground, and that's where Rotary can help.
Oh, that's amazing, because it's those diseases that really need that input to eradicate. It's possible, isn't it? It's possible to do it.
It is. And recently, Waiheke Rotary, we have a sister club in Fiji and in Savu Savu, and we contacted them, and they needed some help with their maternity ward, didn't have any hot water, and we raised some money here, just a small amount of money, but that was matched by sister clubs in Auckland and matched again by the New Zealand clubs and finally by the international. And so we put in 3,000 and it ended up as being 55,000.
3,000 is a lot of money to raise. I know what it's like trying to raise money. That's really good. And it is, I mean, you think about it, Fiji... And you can't, you know, think Fiji's modern, you know, reasonably modern with tourists and things. No hot water in the maternity.
That's right.
That is just scary, isn't it?
It is. And it's because we have these linkages with clubs all over the world that we can help out when they need a hand.
And sometimes it's not a lot of money.
No, not relatively, it's not a lot of money.
It's fresh water or something. If you get a group like you in there, you can change things.
That's right. That's right. And that's one of the things which Rotary do. We collect all the time for emergency packs, which we have on hand. So if there's any, a cyclone event in the Pacific, we can get something out there within hours because those emergency packs are already made up and ready to go.
I think I've seen Did I see one that was designed? Is that the ones that someone designed?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I don't recall anything much about it, but I know it was all designed by that, this person.
That's right.
And they have stunning.
Yeah, they have all the things you would need in an emergency, you know, tents, blankets, all those things. And they're in large containers which are held ready to go, and they can be flown out there within hours.
And that's what you need, isn't it?
It is.
You've got to have them at a point. They can't be where things, because you don't know where it's going to happen.
That's right.
So I just find that whole thing to be amazing, how quickly organisations get on the ground.
Yes, it is. And I think that this is built up over many years, and it's very effective use of local communities to help each other.
Okay, and if somebody wants to belong to Rotary and they think, oh, Rotary, well, what does Rotary do? Take it right down to the Waiheke Club level. What do you do on, I think it's Monday nights?
That's right. On Monday nights, we meet every Monday.
Because you miss my jazz show every Monday.
Well, we have to give up something.
Yes.
at the Surfdale Bowling Club. And anybody that would like, I think that's probably the best way to make contact. If you come down there at 6:30 on a Monday, and we'll make you very welcome. And, you know, we have a meeting there, and we also have a meal every time, and it's a very social occasion.
And what happens at the meeting? Do you have a speaker sometimes?
Yes, or? We usually almost invariably have a speaker, and it's just quite fascinating. The sort of things that come forward, quite varied. And we've had people from the crew, people on the America's Cup, come and talk to us, and we've had local Waiheke winemakers come and tell us about their story. And
they bring anything with them?
No, we usually give them a small gift.
Oh, right. That's great. So there's some interesting things. And then, of course, you've got what Rotary does is the raising money.
Yes.
But there's also a sharing of information and a learning thing.
There is.
And I think it's a social side, obviously.
It is a social side. And a lot of the events that we organise are social events. I mean, I think we're having on the 5th of April coming up a concert, which we're organising, again, to try and raise money. But it also is a social event.
That's with the... Is that with the orchestra?
It is, yes. And we're having various classical singers.
That's a big orchestra that's coming over.
Yes, it is. And I think that's where we can score, because we have connections, and we can make sure that with proper planning for these events that they come off very well.
I think there's like 60 in the orchestra. Have I got that wrong?
No. I think
it's a youth orchestra or something. I've read about it. Mm.
Yes, and we're very excited about that. And that's something that we haven't tried before. But
yeah, often that is connections, isn't it?
It is.
I think connections of who you know. It gets down to that, doesn't it? It's who you know.
It does, and yeah. I think that's where Rotary is such a powerful group, because we have clubs all over Auckland. There's dozens of clubs in Auckland, and of course all over New Zealand.
Oh, that's great. So if somebody's really interested, Monday 6:30 at the Surfdale
Bowling Club. Bowling, yeah, Club. Please come along, and we'll make you very welcome.
I mean all those clubs, all the service clubs in New Zealand, they are very welcoming. I mean, that's what your business is, and you like to have new members, new blood.
We do.
And it's connections. Because Waiheke can be a bit isolated, you know, it's hard to mix with people. You can make a few friends here, and if you commute, you know a whole lot of people. If you don't commute, you know a whole lot of different people. Well, thank you very much, and all the very best for next Sunday, the
next
2nd.
Sunday.
And I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Come along and have a great day out.
Yeah, we sure will. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Island Life. Waiheke people, events and issues, brought to you by Island, art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac, Ocean View Road, Onirua.
I've got Mirren and Frankie in the studio, and the dog. And the dog, she's trying to say, I think she's scared I'm going to go and put her on air, but I'm not. We're talking about Direction Matia Tia, and Mirren, you are deeply involved in it.
I am, David.
So what's happening? There's a couple of meetings coming up.
There is. So the where we're at the moment is that the court has finally got possession of the case, and there are about 310 different parties involved. A lot of those people are part of Direction Matiatia, but in addition to Direction Matiatia, there are about 30 independent parties who may or may not have their own lawyers on the day.
So independent parties, these are people who may have completed this. Is this the section
274
parties?
Yes.
Yeah. So they may have completed that, but they haven't. They're not part of Direction Matiatia.
That's right. There were about 30 people who have become 274 parties who have their own particular concerns that they want to pursue. Some of those are very specialist interests. For example, businesses in the area that will be affected if the marina goes ahead. People who live close to the area and are concerned about noise or the visual impact. And then there are some particular individuals who have a degree of expertise. So an example of that is Paul Monan, who has such a wealth of expertise in relation to the area and the history of the area. And while we will certainly, through Direction Matiatia, support him, he will give evidence in his own right. Mm.
And he knows a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing? His book on Matiatia, I remember giving it to someone for their birthday and wrote in it, "We cannot let the marina happen."
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I've looked at Matiatia since I was a little kid. Mm. And so the court is having a pre-hearing over here.
Yes.
That's not common?
No, it's not common. Certainly the number of parties involved and the particular level of passion and interest about the issue has persuaded the Environment Court to at least host this first process over here. So the pre-hearing conference, which will be on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the big hall in Ostend, will be stretched to capacity if all of the Section 274 parties turn up. But it's also an open court, which means that the general public can come along and attempt to get a seat. They may give preference to making sure 274 parties are present before they admit the general public. And the role of the court at the pre-hearing conference is really just to start putting in place the processes and timeframes before the matter eventually progresses to hearing.
So there'll be no evidence given or expected on those days.
That's right. So the pre-hearing conference, there's no evidence, there's no arguments, there's no the marina is good or the marina is bad. A lot of it is very much the dialogue of lawyers. Lawyers talking to the judge, saying, well, we think we should have to serve all of our documents on the other side within this time frame. Yeah.
Trying to make it as hard as possible for the other side to do things.
Yes.
So, and then to help people, you've got a meeting tomorrow.
That's right. So we've got a meeting. Direction Matiatia has a meeting at 4:30 tomorrow at the Catherine Mitchell Centre. And the aim of that meeting is just to explain to all of the Section 274 parties where we're at, to give them some insight into how the case is developing, and to then explain what will happen at the pre-hearing conference. And that meeting is open to all Section 274 parties, whether they are part of the Direction Matiatia case or they're standing in their own right.
But it's not open to the public.
It's not open to the public.
Because there'll be information given there which is part of your case.
That's exactly right.
People don't give out. I mean,
yes.
No one does that.
That's right.
So that meeting is just for the parties that are involved.
That's exactly
and
it.
And do you have a way of communicating with all of those people? Do you have a sort of email tree or something?
We have an extensive email list, but we also have a website which is being revamped at the moment, and I want to do a great big call out to Dan Ballard and CyberHub, who have actually been redeveloping our website. So the website is directionmatiatia.co.nz. It's a public website, but in the next 48 hours there will be a members only section where all 274 parties will be registered, and they'll be able to go into that website, into the private members section, and share information and get the very most most recent information that we have.
All right, because it's getting serious, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And things have got to be remain confidential.
Yes.
For things, but it is a serious. This is
absolutely.
Funsies not on anymore, is it?
That's no. Exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Raising money and having a glass of wine and things those days are still going, but it's quite different. This is you don't get it right, you don't get another chance.
That's exactly right. So we are continuing with our fundraising, toy gallery through the silent auction. The Art of Protest raised $10,000, which is just amazing.
Yeah, I saw it here on in the Golf News.
Absolutely.
What would Ireland life be without Golf News?
Most definitely.
Oh, and the marketplace.
And the marketplace, yeah. Yes. But yeah. we've been really fortunate to have the sort of fundraising support. But that said, at the moment we've raised around about $70,000.
But might not be enough.
We're about just under halfway to where we feel we need to be. Ooh. So we need to redouble our fundraising efforts, particularly because in the last week we've really started to engage our experts, and that's obviously going to involve money. So we certainly encourage people to continue to support Direction Matiatia through the various fundraising events that are organised, and there are certainly some further activities planned around that. Yeah. Or to access the Direction Matiatia website and get the bank details and put some money in.
Yeah, yeah. In small amounts, doesn't
small amounts
still
is
adds
great,
up, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
$10 adds up to $100. It's amazing how small amounts can really add up.
We've got some supporters who have actually got a direct debit happening, so they're donating small amounts on a regular basis.
That's a good way you can look at it and go, oh, well, I can. That's a couple of coffees I'll give up. It's a good cause.
Absolutely.
I'm doing both. Still, I would say, oh, I'll go without a few coffees. I never do. So, the interesting thing that interests me was two things. First of all, Direction Matiatia have got advisors. They've got two barristers working. Do they work with Direction Matiatia, appointed by the court?
No. So the first thing is that normally with these things, an organisation like Direction Matiatia would engage a firm of solicitors. Yeah. We're not doing that, partly to save money and partly because my background is as a lawyer, although I'm not currently practising as a lawyer. So I'm bringing that experience to sort of into the picture.
Because that's quite obvious when I said to you, I thought you might have been, because I've been reading the articles in the Golf News and the interviews and everything, come across as someone who knows what they're doing.
Yes. But in the last few weeks, we've engaged barristers, and those barristers are representing Direction Matiatia. The barristers are working closely with a pocket full of experts, everything from planners through to something called a landscape architect.
Yes, they do exist.
Absolutely. Ecologists, environmentalists. So we've got a raft of experts that the lawyers or the barristers are working with.
So where did those earlier advisors fit in? There was a man and a woman who were advising.
Absolutely.
Where did they fit in?
So we're talking about Brian Putt and Trish Fordyce. Yeah. They were appointed by the court and they will continue to play a role in that process. So their role...
But they're available to anybody, aren't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. So their role is for anybody who is going through the process and doesn't have their own lawyer. They will be available to assist people to give evidence.
And to guide them through the and that's very helpful because a court, a person who doesn't know, it's quite intimidating. I remember, I'll tell my little story. It's not about me, but I was a newly appointed trust officer, and I went to court to had to give evidence about arrears of rent. And the judge made a mistake and I corrected him. And he did listen to me. But our lawyer went, don't you ever do that again. I said, but he listened to me. He obviously looked at me and thought, smarty, you know. But so I think that's when I decided I'd go and be a lawyer. But it was so funny, you know, because I terrified the poor. But you don't know what to do, do you? And it's good to have someone that can be with you and help you.
And we're really fortunate that the Environment Court, particularly in this case, given the passion of people involved, is very concerned to ensure that everybody feels that they're being listened to. We're certainly pressing for the court to conduct a lot of the evidence from people on the island here on the island.
So there could be hearings, evidence given on the island.
Absolutely.
Which does make sense.
It does.
To us.
Yes.
Whether the Environment Court wants to do it
absolutely.
Or not. But they've made this one step, haven't they, for the pre-hearing?
They have. And as I say, I think that we're really fortunate that the Environment Court is so welcoming and supportive of the individual person who just wants to be able to stand up and say, you know, I'm concerned about what will happen to the penguins or already the traffic presents a problem for me as a commuter. So there will be opportunity for every Section 274 party to have their say, aside from the barristers standing up and presenting all of that expert evidence and legal argument.
I came home with her on the boat months ago with a yachty. And we were talking about it, and he explained to me how high it would be. I was stunned. I went, no, it's not true. I mean, you just think it can't happen, but it's not that simple, is it?
No, and we certainly shouldn't underestimate the case that we have to present. The reality is that the marina developer would not be pursuing the matter unless he thought that he had at least an arguable case.
Yeah, he must have somebody who's telling him, hey, I'm prepared to argue this. Mind you, some people will argue anything if you give them enough money, but in these cases it's a lot of money and they wouldn't be doing it.
No.
They must think they've got something.
Absolutely.
And I think people, I think that's something that both you and Christine have got through. This isn't fun, Z's. Mm. This is for keeps, and you get a chance, and you've got to do it. And just because you go, no one can do that, it's not evidence, is it?
No, that's exactly right. And unfortunately, it's true under New Zealand law that ultimately when it comes to things on water, it's really first come, first served. And provided that the court thinks that this is a reasonable proposal, the fact that the marina developer got in first means that he has the best opportunity at this stage of getting that permission should the court think it an appropriate type of development.
I think when I was talking to you on Friday evening about it and I said, but the water's ours.
Yes.
And you said, oh, no, it's not that simple. And I think people do go, well, so it is first in, first served.
Ultimately, sort of in relation to water and the use of water, yes, certainly there is a sort of sense under New Zealand law of first in, first served, provided, of course, that any development that's proposed meets the requirements of the law and the relevant policies.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean you can't get started.
No.
There's no rules that go you can't start there. Because I think people have got a shock that somebody could start this.
Absolutely.
And yet they're perfectly within their right to do that.
That's right. And there is obviously that concern that what we're really talking about here is public space, the commons. Yeah, and I think that one of the reasons why Matia Tia excites such passion is ultimately because people look around the island and see the way in which increasingly private interests encroach on public space, and the marina is the linchpin of that. It's very much the closing in of that private space public space for what will ultimately be not only private use but commercial gain.
Yeah, and it's not that I just for myself, I'm not opposed to a marina. I just don't want it there.
And
because it just, I mean, I would be no use to you because I'd be going, but I just don't want, it can't be there. But that's not, it's all emotion, and you've been able to channel a lot of this emotion, haven't you? You, Christine, I've talked to Christine, so I told her the day she was here, she kept on banging the table, but you've been able to channel that emotion into fundraising. John Hawkesby, you've got people like that in there, and you can channel that into a proper case, and I think it's a tremendous credit to you.
Absolutely, and that emotion, that passion is really, really important. We rely upon it. Mm. It keeps us going when we feel a bit overwhelmed with everything that's happening, but it's also a really important aspect for the court to hear. Yeah. The court needs to hear just how important Matia Tia is to people and to our sense of identity, the fact that it's not only our main port, passenger terminal, but it's also for us our front door.
Yeah. And is the Marae obviously is part of evidence, because there's burial, you know, they go, oh no, there isn't, and I just thought that was an awful thing, the slap in the face, because that's not true. To me it's a sacred place. I mean, you know, I just feel that way because I've been here since I was a kid.
Absolutely. And Direction Matia Tia will be supporting the Marae. The Marae will be represented by the Direction Matia Tia barristers,
wonderful.
They will be able to present a very compelling case as to the significance and the importance of preserving Matia Tia as it is.
Because I would thought the Marae gives the evidence and it's finished. But that's me, thinking. But it is, this is why people need to realise that it's, and that's why if you haven't done anything, just give some money.
Absolutely.
If that's what you can do, if you can afford it, give some money, because you're doing something. It's needed, because it's not, I think I've probably said it six times now, it's not funsies now.
No, not funsies.
Yeah. And I think I've covered everything. Are you, Christine? You do a very good article here, because you do mention it's not a protest opportunity.
Absolutely,
and I think that's very important, isn't it?
Absolutely, we are.
You don't want to hack them off.
That's right. We're very fortunate that the Environment Court has been prepared to have this first important step on the island. If it became apparent to the court that future proceedings on the island might be hijacked by protests and interrupting the proceedings, we would have a much more difficult time convincing the court that the best place to hear the evidence is on the island. So we would ask people, whether they are 274 parties or just interested members of the community coming along on Tuesday, just to respect the fact that it is a court process and not the appropriate time to protest.
No, it is a court. And if people do protest and they feel uncomfortable, they'll just shift it to their domain in town where they've got total control.
That's exactly right.
Where they can close the doors and say, you're not allowed in here.
That's exactly right.
Or toss you out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people need to be very careful. The protest is something quite separate, and I would really hate for someone to come in and do that and spoil the whole. I mean, people think, oh, I can protest. Well, just don't spoil it for people, because you can make it would be great if you could get the evidence. Then they've got to come in to Matia Tia each time.
That's exactly it.
You know, and yeah, I was just going to say something about protest, but I better not. but, you know, they've got to come in every time and look at it as they come in. They can't be not in? Well, they can't not see the thing. How often do they actually get to see all the things, actually?
Absolutely. One of the things that will that has been proposed will be a formal viewing of the area as part of the evidence. Mm. So we expect that after the marina opens its case and presents its opening submission, that the court will actually adjourn down to the area and walk around and really see the area and space that we're talking about.
And I think perhaps we should reinforce that this is quite a privilege to actually have the pre-hearing, because the pre-hearing is largely, as you say, lawyers. They don't have to shift it over here. That's been quite an achievement by somebody.
Yes.
By obviously the barristers, and it's a real privilege to have it. Mm. This is a court. I think people really need to know that this isn't a public meeting.
No,
it's
no.
It's a court. And you'll be reinforcing that, I think, tomorrow, will you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a court of law.
And the reality is that when people walk into the hall on Tuesday, it will be set up as a court. Mm. There will be the court officials and the registrars and people who will be handling all of the documents and that sort of thing. There'll be a long area for the barristers and lawyers to sit at.
It's going to look serious.
Yes, yes. And there will certainly be an opportunity for 274 parties who don't feel that their views are being represented through the existing lawyers to be able to participate in that process. And again, that's something that we'll talk about at our meeting tomorrow at 4:30.
Right. And that's for the parties, not for the public.
That's right.
It's nice to have the public, but this isn't the time.
Absolutely.
Well, that's really excellent. You've covered everything that I wanted to ask you.
Great.
And it's, good luck. And you need money. And as I say, people can get frustrated, but get donating, I think, is the answer rather than getting frustrated with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. And keep up these articles, because they are very, you've come across really, really well, both you and Christine. And, of course, you're at the market selling T-shirts. How's the T-shirt selling going?
The T-shirt selling's great. And for anybody who might have missed out in the first round, we've just printed off another 100 T-shirts.
Oh, right.
So you can get down to the market. Our volunteers are down there this morning selling the T-shirts and collecting donations.
Yeah.
We've got some other promotional materials in the pipeline. So,
yeah. Oh, excellent. Because I've seen Catherine down there. I've known Catherine. Her mum I call Auntie, so I've been around a long time. So and Auntie Minnie's like my auntie. Well, she's not my auntie, you obviously know that, but she is.
Mm. And I think it's really important, David, at this stage to acknowledge that while Christine and I tend to be the sort of talking heads of Direction Matiatia, the reality is that so much of the legwork is done by 274 parties themselves and a whole lot of supporters. Catherine does an amazing job of getting the volunteers down there early on a Saturday morning, setting up the stall, and supporters who are keeping in contact with other Section 274 parties, making certain that everybody's aware of what's going on. We've got people contacting us saying, I can pick up somebody if they need a lift tomorrow to the meeting. And
all of that is so helpful to people, just small things. But you pick somebody up and it gets them there where they'd feel like they couldn't get there.
Absolutely.
But the one thing, try and get Catherine to come on the radio.
I will.
I'm just saying she doesn't want to. I've tried. But Christine and yourself, you that's what you feel comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. Christine said that she didn't feel comfortable doing it. I asked her a couple of questions and she talked for half an hour.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic. Mm. And it's good to have your point of view, because you can do that as well. Well, thank you very much. So
thank
tomorrow
you.
At 4 o'clock?
4:30.
Oh, 4:30, is it?
Yes, 4:30 at the Catherine Mitchell Centre.
It is too. It says here in the Golf News, 4:30, Catherine Mitchell. Quite a good facility.
It is.
To get people in there. Mm. And so I've been really surprised at some of the people that have told me that their 274 parties. I went, oh, really? I didn't expect you to do that.
It's an amazing cross-section of the community. I've been spending the last couple of hours this morning just going through the list and making certain everybody's been contacted and knows about the case on or the pre-hearing on Tuesday. And it's really quite heartwarming to look at the list of people and to see they come from every walk of life.
And that must, I mean, I don't know how much weight that carries, but it's got to be, it's, you couldn't help but have a feeling about it if you saw the range of people.
Absolutely.
And who are going to do it. And I think that's just incredible. Mm. Yeah. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in, and you're always welcome.
Thank you,
so,
David.
So thank you very, very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.